Well, everyone, I really pray that we can move slowly here and set a space of sacred space, and I hope that includes turning off phones, turning off texts, turning off children, turning off any demands from the outside world for 1 hour, to be willing to truly drop into another frequency altogether. So take a moment and make sure that you have the most sanctified meditational environment that you can create for yourself right now. And as you do that, if it's in your joy to, and you have one in your environment, to light a candle for that purpose, to just light a candle for our sanctified space that is creating the frequency of a unified field of consciousness. And if you don't have a candle, then just light one etherically. And let's each do that with full consciousness, as if it were the central flame in the temple, that we're each bringing our own personal flames light. And lighting the central brazier fire together of this unified field of consciousness. And breathing deeply as you do that, evoking the element of fire in your being as you light this flame, allowing it to inform you directly. And let us begin together now that we have lit the central brazier flame from all of our individual flames. Let us begin the journey together to remember and reclaim the fullness of the divine feminine within us. You are male or female, no difference. Truly, this is about looking at consciousness through the lens of the feminine. So let us do that by beginning to breathe. And each one of you now will recognize that it is the silence that is the cauldron that holds us right now. And wrapping yourself in silence and wrapping this circle in silence, in a luminous cocoon of silent light, lucid light. And what oftentimes music does in holding the resonant frequency, we will do now with our unified thought form of this luminous cocoon of light that surrounds us in lucid silence. And feel the energy matrix that is going around this whole planet that includes you and all beings in it, and specifically this etheric council that is gathered for this work. Feeling that cocoon of light going around us, creating sacred space. So let's begin by breathing into your belly. Really deep breath that makes your belly really move up. Into the still, dark void of our Divine Mother. Just breathing. Emptying out on the out-breath, letting go of your day, your concerns, your expectations, your thoughts. And simply breathing in light and breathing out into complete emptiness. As you breathe out, empty, empty, empty. Following the ebb and flow of the breath, emptying yourself of any emotion or expectation, knowing that we can create sacred space through our emptiness, just our emptiness. So honoring that by breathing consciously and consciously emptying. If thoughts or emotions arise, allow them to effortlessly pop like a bubble and come back into emptiness. And moving the locus of your awareness from the belly, begin to move the current that you feel in the belly, in this breath and emptiness in the womb of the mother. Allow it to begin to gently move up into your heart. Feeling the beating of your heart as you breathe. Feeling the ebb and flow of your heart and your breath. Knowing that the heart is where the macrocosm and microcosm meet. And this is the sacred space of your heart temple. Imagine or see, feel or intuit, whatever way your perceptual field perceives. Perceive yourself sitting serenely empty in your heart temple. And in your heart temple, you find, feel, sense, an entrance to your particular sacred space, whether that is in nature, in a physical temple, wherever you can create a deeply supportive and safe space in which to enter into the deepest places of your soul essence. And deeply breathing, find yourself in that temple space now. Really create it around you. Visualize, see, feel, however you know and move on the inner planes. Create that space that is just your temple space. And now with the spiral starting in your heart, begin to create a spiral vortex around you. Really start in your heart and allow this spiral of light to move around you, forming a luminous cocoon of light. Really feel that viscerally. Sense it, smell it, feel it around you. See the light that you're creating with this spiral vortex that is forming itself around you. And allow it to slowly spiral outward to surround you in a total cocoon of light. And as you have created your own spiral vortex now, slowly follow the spiral back into your heart, leaving the luminous cocoon there, but spiraling the spiral back into the center of your heart, slowly and with full consciousness, going the opposite direction, spiraling back in, spiraling back in, back in, and then begin to see or feel or sense your spiral going from your heart down into the heart of the earth. Feel that spiral vortex going down into the heart of the earth, into making an infinity loop that weaves back through your heart. So as it grounds fully into the earth, feel the spiral creating a loop up to your heart and back into the earth, creating a spiral vortex that meets in the center in your heart. Back into the earth, grounding into the core of the mother, coming back, spiraling back into your heart, and feeling that loop completely establish itself as a place that you can come back to at any time to receive nourishment from our Divine Mother Gaia. and then expanding the loop to enter back into the heart of the sun, starting with that loop that's been looped into the earth and back into the center in your heart, and then looping another part of the spiral up into the heart of the sun and looping that loop into the solar logos, into that which cannot be named, into the mystery of the divine logos, and really feeling the energy of that as you felt the energy of the earth. And breathing deeply and creating now the entire loop from the heart of the sun, threading through the heart, down through the earth, back up into the heart, merging these frequencies of above and below, and you as the sacred third in the center, feeling that circuit, grounding our work, creating this large context of a container for our collective work that includes all beings in its loop. And feel the power of that. You may experience energy moving through you now, or pulsing, that is both from our mother beneath, below, and from the father aspect in the solar logos. Merging frequencies in the heart for our crucible for alchemical work this day. Making this entire circuit. And as we have created this deeply cosmic alignment as a context for our journey, find yourself held gently in your heart temple. Really feel yourself so gently and powerfully held in your heart temple's pure vibration. Like in your heart temple, perceive that you're completely surrounded by this luminous light from above and below. Gently held in your heart temple. And there, in your heart temple, you may find yourself standing in front of an elder priestess who begins to look deeply into your eyes, lucid, luminous, empty presence, dropping into those eyes that expect nothing, ask nothing, are simply utterly empty and present. Look deeply. Feel, if you don't see on the etheric, feel what it feels like, senses, as to drop into the lucid, luminous pools of this beautiful being's eyes that it is meeting you in your heart temple. And as you receive her in utter emptiness to meet her in the place that she's coming from, just notice if you can remain completely empty as you look into or feel those eyes penetrating, seeing through into your soul beyond who you think you are as a personality. In complete emptiness, you meet her. And as she senses that you are truly empty to receive the gift of divine force, divine flow that moves between the shores of your souls in your eyes, she gently raises her hands to your face and anoints your third eye with holy oil for entrance into this sacred temple, your sacred temple of I am not. This is the place where the small I dissolves. Who you are as a personality dissolves into the oneness that only empty presence can hold in this temple of I am not. Place of perfect stillness and emptiness that lives in your heart temple. That is the mystery beyond all ego descriptions that you can name. Enter into this temple of I am not, beloveds, and be welcome home. Breathe and notice how you feel as you receive this invitation to come into a place of deepest remembrance and homecoming. A place of remembering the frequency of the purity of love. Feel that place in your heart. And your joy in that homecoming. And breathing into expanding and feeling the expansion of love's presence in your heart, you find that another priestess is beckoning to you. And she looks deeply also into your eyes as she gently washes your hands in rose water from a beautiful crystal bowl. As she looks deeply into your eyes, she calls you into deepest remembrance of your truest essence in the pools you find there. And after what seems like an eternity in timelessness, she speaks. I bid you enter, beloved. I bid you entrance into the silence behind all words and the light behind all appearances. Enter the silence of her holy womb. The womb of silence, the void of the mother's womb. And as you take that fully in and breathe deeply to expand into what the gifting of this silence actually is, this priestess asks you, I am the gate of empty presence. Can you in truth pass by my gates? Really answer that now. Can you truly answer that you are empty in this moment to enter into the mystery of your own heart temple? Really breathe and ask yourself. And is there something you would need to leave behind to truly enter empty? A thought, an emotion? Whatever it is that keeps you from being fully present in this moment in your emptiness, offer it up to this priestess, speaking it out loud, or whatever way you wish to communicate to her. That you are ready to set down whatever it is to enter in empty. We will come back here often to assess how far we've come in moving out of ego mind to actually stand in the completeness of your empty, empty presence and the gift of divine grace that pour freely from this place that can only be accessed through empty presence. It is my prayer that you truly grasp the importance of this gift and learning to be that you may truly receive the gifts of the divine in absolute effortless grace. It is the way of the mother to offer us divine grace. What mother would not want to give her child unconditional love and all the things that that child needs and wants? That is what you are opening to if you're willing to step out of your ego mind for this holy time that we are together in these precious moments we're together, and really, really be in empty presence together. Then the divine can come through and create miracles you can never, ever imagine. This is the truest truth, and it requires your setting the mind aside. This is not a class. This is an experience of divine frequency moving through us as a unified field. And what is required for that to happen is this emptiness that you're now accessing. So check in with yourself in every moment as we move through this precious hour of time together and say, how empty am I? Am I thinking? Am I having stray movements? Am I having stray emotions? And really call yourself, without self-judgment, within absolute love, call yourself back home to the center of emptiness. That is our home base. In our heart temples, that is the homing frequency. So get used to coming back to the emptiness, back to the emptiness. Very, very important and seminal skill in 13 Moon Mystery work, in any Divine Feminine work. So breathing into that and knowing that that is our home frequency and that's where we'll go. And if your minds are getting antsy and thinking, oh my God, am I going to have to just be still and empty for this whole time? Just give your minds a little pat on the head and say, no, there will be mind food, it's all okay, but right now we are being empty. We are learning to truly be empty. So never fear. You can be sure there will be things that we will look at from the point of view of the small mind, which is the servant to this place in witness consciousness that is empty presence. But we are first always starting with empty presence and the witness. And there will be other moments for the mind, but just if it's balking right now, then just pat yourself on the head and say, it's okay, I love you, and come back. Because now the small mind is being put under the aegis of your witness consciousness instead of the other way around. It was never meant to be anything but the servant, not the master it has been given power to be in Western culture. That is the undoing that we're doing right now. The undoing of all this enculturation that says that the mind and the ego are the ones in power and that have control. No, in the feminine, that is not so. Our divine consciousness, our witness consciousness, is the being that is driving the vehicle, not the small mind. So let us be utterly clear about that as we begin. There is a story of a Zen master meeting a new student with a tea ceremony where tea is poured into the student's small handheld cup until he or she gives a small gesture to indicate enough, thank you. One day, a mind full, accomplished, knowledgeable, self-certain monk arrives at the temple for training. The master pours tea. The young man, monk, gestures to stop pouring, but the master keeps pouring tea until the cup is totally overflowed and makes a terrible mess. The master explains, when you arrived, your cup was already so full, there was no room for anything new. Empty your cup and come back another time when you are empty for tea. The empty cup becomes a powerful metaphor for our personal practice in the Divine Feminine. The cup represents your heart, your senses, your mind. At every moment, the holy life itself wants to pour itself into you, into your cup. But your cup is full with your ideas, your plans, your judgments. There is often no room to receive the holy, the unexpected seeing, light, or the gifts that the moment is offering. And it is becoming our living practice in this work to consciously empty our cups again and again and again. This work is not about content, it is about frequency and the transmutational potential held in that. The cup of mind fills easily, and we want to fill it with tea. It takes fierce courage to choose love over being right or comfortable. It takes commitment and courage to be empty, open, and receptive. It takes courage to hold out our empty cups to receive something new and unexpected, including what seems to us dark or not so sweet in the mystery of life. Quintessentially and simply stated, in the Divine Feminine, this allegory can be summarized thus. And I'm going to use the Tibetan bowl so you'll begin to learn to take things in with the viscera rather than the mind, with your belly, with your heart. So when you hear the bowl, that's a call to take things in with more than your mind. In a deeply meditative space, these things go in to your neural program in a very deep way. And it is noting that when you hear the Tibetan bowl like this, it is honoring that you're listening with the viscera and that everything that is done for the collective one that you do for the self, it doesn't matter. It is you and the collective are one, and that is what that bell means. I and the collective are one. So all your transmutational work goes to the transmutation of the collective. And that is why our emptiness is of pivotal importance, because the more empty our crucible is, the more clearly is that message sent out to the collective. So let us be mindful of that now as you hear these words that are the central mystery in the feminine. What is real is empty. And what is empty is real. Really stop and feel the potential of this truth. Being able to tell what is real and what is impermanent becomes the central issue of female-based spirituality. Cultivating a way to determine what is real is a primary focus of our work together. These words sound so simple that the mind says, oh, really? Oh, really? How could that possibly be true? That is too simple. Again, tap your mind on the head, say, thank you for sharing, I love you, come back to emptiness. You will only receive the gifts that are being offered here if you can genuinely let go of your small mind and hear with your viscera. So I'm going to ask you to listen to that one more time. What is real is empty. And what is empty is real. And learning to tell that will be part of our work and a question that we will be asking in our sacred practices this week. How do I tell what is real? What is real from the point of view of soul? not my ego personality that will tell you very well what is real and what it wants, but from the point of view of soul, how do I tell what is real here in this hologram of Earth? How do I tell what is impermanent only and what has value that is real, that will carry on from one lifetime to the next in its realness? That is one of our deepest considerations during this sacred practice, is how do I tell what is real? In this work, we are being called to have the courage not to know. In a culture that has demanded that you know answers rationally to appear to be intelligent, this is a feminine training in the exact opposite. It is an emptying out and a willingness to know from an entirely different lens of awareness, that is to know directly from the womb of silence, from emptiness. To know from a place within you that is unconditioned awareness that simply emerges and arises from the belly heart without effort. Rather than conditioned answers coming down from the rational mind. That is what we are moving toward embodying in this work together. Really grasp this. There is a place in you that is unconditioned awareness that simply knows and emerges and rises from your belly heart without effort. There's a wisdom that you are a keeper of that is directly connected to divine source, and you know in that moment. This is not about stuffing more information into your head about anything. It is truly about emptying so that you can receive this divine connection that you always are in, but you can clear away all the thoughts and strivings and goals that the Western world mental realms demand that you know in order to be, quote, right or smart or whatever. Rather, it shows you that there is a place within you that knows everything it needs to know when you clear away that which is not real. And that is the first agreement in our agreement field that we are agreeing to here. And rather than disturbing the resonant frequency with sounds of your saying, I agree, I'm just going to trust that if you are here, your soul has brought you here, and if it is your wisdom to agree to this agreement field and being here for this 7 weeks of incredible time together, then say, I agree after I finish. Can you agree to the best of your ability to remain empty and in empty presence in our work together during this time? If so, so say yes. That is our first agreement. And since we are one organism as human beings, what is done for one is done for the collective transformation of all. So as I said, whenever you hear this bowl, that is a reminder to stay empty, stay present, and offer up whatever is being said for the upliftment or transformation personally and then collectively of all beings. Can you agree to that agreement field? I can. Speaking from essence rather than ego mind, what is the difference? In archetypal work, a thing is done as it is said in full conscious awareness. Then the other bodies, emotional, mental, physical may take some time to catch up to that awareness, but from the point of view of your soul essence, the work is done, etherically speaking, as it is spoken. And though shadow material in the emotional body may be activated in this work, it is not the focus of this experience and will be dealt with in a different way than you may be used to. Can you agree to this agreement of speaking from your essence rather than your ego mind? I can. The energy coming up from your heart and silence feels differently than coming down from the mind. The energy from the mind may sound dry or brittle in a highly coherent field. Can you agree to the best of your ability to speak from the clarity and the silence and the frequency of the womb of silence? I can. We are here to simply witness each other's transformation in this alchemical work. Thus, in this work, there is no need to fix, change, inform, explain, advise. In short, we are not here to focus on the ego's endless storyline. We're here to enter into the big story of our mythic, archetypal selves. Can you agree to witnessing each other rather than trying to change or fix or inform? I can. This is deep, vulnerable soul work, and it is essential that we can agree in this work that it is sacrosanct and that no one's name will be used outside of this circle in conjunction with its workings. Can you agree to this field of sanctity? Your soul essence holds you accountable for everything that you commit to in front of sacred witnesses. Therefore, be laser-like and clear in what you claim to be witnessed in. We are not just speaking words or affirming. We are making archetypal agreements with the essence self and to each other. Can you agree to this field of archetypal and personal accountability? I can. So we're going to just breathe for a moment and check in. I want to definitely deepen with you around the idea of resonance and coherency and what it is, because that truly is what it is that will keep us into this deeper space and out of ego mind. And I'm looking at this, seeing how our time needs to look to in order to do this. It feels like perhaps just speaking about resonance and coherence, and then we'll talk about your sacred practices this moon of how we can deepen in these practices as we go. So again, I'm going to invite you to really listen with the viscera as you hear these words, to take them in as more than intellectual information, as frequency itself. Resonance is the quality of sounding again due to similar vibrational structure and frequency. Just as one tuning fork will begin to vibrate when another near it is struck due to the phenomenon of resonance. Imagine yourself in this moment as a tuning fork being struck by divine light. That is resonance. I really feel that. Stop and not hear the words, but feel that. You are a tuning fork. And right now, just like I am striking this Tibetan bowl, you are in resonance with the divine, and because of that, you are being struck with divine light. Feel that resonance. In resonant harmonics, information is the vehicle of energy passing between two agents. So as a sounding again, resonance is information. Really feel the truth of that. Resonance is information. That is why feeling and sensing are so important in this work. To sense the resonance of incoming information literally co-creates a resonant field. So if you try to conceptualize an experience before you've actually resonated with it, the field is often broken or lost. Stop in this moment and feel the resonance you're feeling in your body at this moment. Really feel the resonance of your body, and I'll be silent so you can absolutely feel the frequency and resonance of that which is going on in your body right now. Can you allow it to inform you directly, without thought, as to what color it is, this frequency, or what texture, or what image arises to describe this resonance? And just make note of that. In order to maintain a resonant field, all that's required is for you to relax mental definitions. Simply open your heart to the frequency of information that is being offered as a gift of divine grace in an archetypal field. Remember, in archetypal work, the modulations of the consciousness doing the communicating are far more important than the content of what is being communicated. Simply stated, it is ours in this field to be an empty, static-free station through which the frequencies of divine resonance flow. And stillness is the magnet that draws the iron filings of more dispersed and chaotic ego consciousness into a coherent pattern that will sustain this resonant field. Conversely, stray thoughts, stray emotions, stray nervous movement create an energetic static that disturbs the coherence and resonance of this field. How still are you right now? How empty are you right now? Without self-judgment, be willing to feel what is true for you right now. In a highly coherent field, mental responses will often sound brittle or clipped, whereas responses from essence, from the belly, from the viscera, that flow from empty presence in the womb of silence, sound heart-centered, clear, coherent, and naturally have the ring of truth. That is, one can feel the vibration of truth that is being communicated through and beyond the words. The harmonic resonance of truth that exists beyond words moves into the foreground and suddenly floods our awareness with direct knowing. Allow yourself to feel what your essence wishes to communicate through and beyond words that are occurring here in this moment. Allow it to be a color, a sound, an image. Allow your essence to communicate through direct knowing right now, feeling into your belly, feeling into your heart, listening for what that is. Coherence is the difference between the power of a flashlight and a laser beam. And we are creating that difference because coherent consciousness is the key to communication between dimensions and across scales. And the open heart is the doorway to the higher coherence and ratio necessary to send energy up or down the harmonic series from the higher organizational dimensions to the DNA. Know that your open heart is the starting point for creating a coherent resonant field and offers a profound opening to coherent resonance. How open is your heart in this moment? If not, stop and feel it opening like a flower. Oh my, how I'm wishing we had lots and lots more time. I just can't believe this has gone by so fast. I would really love to open the lines for concerns or questions. I will be sending out several pieces tomorrow morning for our practices and our practicum for this intensive week. One is a mirror practice to practice empty.
Ariel, love.
Yes.
I am. You do have more time.
Oh, good.
Yes, yes. I'm tracking time for you, and we actually have another 40 minutes before you finish.
Oh, so there will be time for people to speak and so forth. That
yes, and how have people speaking now? If that feels coherent to you to open the lines and have people share from this space? We have, until 6:30, and so that's another 40 minutes.
Oh, I'm so, you know how I don't live in linear time.
I know. That's why you have me here, my love.
Okay, great. Okay, so what I would really like to do is, since we do only have a half an hour more, is to go on with my descriptor of the mirror practice. And let's just all drop in and see if there's anything that really is requiring being said right now. Not from the ego mind, but from the womb of silence. Just really notice inside if there's something that's requiring your soul voice to speak. Really feel the difference. Not, then I will continue. And I can assume, Lindsay, that if no one dialed in or whatever they do in the linear world, that I can just continue.
Is yes, you can continue. Yes, no hands are up so far.
Thank you. I'm so grateful for that. In Avalon, the practice that I'm going to describe to you was called parting the mists. It's in the feminine called open-eyed meditation. It can be spoken of, open-eyed meditation can be spoken of as a mind without thought clutter it, a spaciousness, a sense of profound resting in non-doing. In a culture that does everything it can to distract us from embodying that awareness and consciousness, it is a skill that truly must be consciously cultivated. So let's begin that process. What I'd like you to do in your mirror practice, and we won't do it together today, I'll ask you to do it on your own. I had thought we would do that, but not all of you, as I'm sensing and intuitively, have a mirror in front of you. I think due to a glitch in my linear reality, which is so common, you didn't get that memo to have a mirror with you today, so we'll just describe this process that will be coming tomorrow morning for you to take time this week to deeply, deeply work with the mirror and to recognize that this process is the beginning of the breakdown of the way that the ego mind normally orchestrates reality and sees it in very set and limiting reality coordinates. So you'll have a page of descriptor of that. And since not everyone has that, we might go into this trying it again together next time with a mirror. But just suffice it to say that the intention is to open up to higher dimensional awareness, to your soul voice and to soul awareness directly, direct perception of reality that sees through the weave of 3D reality, that doesn't just see the ego mind coordinates that you're allowed to see for your survival. That's what the brain does, is it filters out immense amounts of information to filter them out so that you will, quote, survive. But what we're doing is moving in the opposite direction here in the feminine of taking down all those barriers when we're in this practice of open mind meditation. All of the barriers of the way that we normally perceive reality begin to dissolve as you look with full consciousness at your own eyes in a mirror and the description of where, how, and who is there. But suffice it to say that as you do this practice and become more adept at it, you will begin to hear soul voice. You will begin to see your face morph and change into the being that you've been in many lifetimes. You will begin to be able to hear clearly information. And you can do this with another human being if that is someone that you are resonant with and can do this practice with. You can use each other's eyes as that empty place to begin to deepen in this practice, and then you'll see their face changing and so forth. But for now, it feels important that everyone does have a mirror to practice this. So you will get the verbal directions, or the whatever you call them, the written directions to do that. And by the time we next meet, I do want to hear what your experience with that is. It's the most seminal practice of this feminine work to access what true empty presence feels like. It's not about really what you do see on the faces and tracking mentally what all that means. That needs to be totally let go of. It's truly just being completely empty and open. And in that, you start receiving information directly that is beyond mind, that is beyond thought. So that is the purpose of that practice this week and the seminal practice we'll be doing. And then what I'm feeling like is useful for us to do is to possibly to look at any questions or inquiries that you have right now, because I feel like what we're really doing here is setting the field for this work. And I know all of you are in varying places on the path in terms of your work with the Divine Feminine. So I want really to spend some quality time now with your concerns or your questions or your clarifications in terms of how we're going to move forward. And then the other things that are our practices, I'll speak about at the very end of the call, just to truly be able to give you an overview of what we're looking at together. But I want to open the lines now, breathing into our hearts and speaking from soul essence rather than ego mind. Really drop in and know that soul speaks slowly, it speaks clearly, and it has the ring of truth because it's coming from the center of your being. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't ask a linear question from your mind if that is truly what's on your mind. But if you have more of a soul-oriented insight or question or clarification at this moment, please feel free to use the technology that is available in this moment in the holodeck of our reality and let me know what that is. And I shall just wait in silence to receive you.
So if you would like to raise your hand and you're in the Maestro line, go ahead and press 1 on your phone keypad, and then we'll know you'd like to speak. And for those who are listening on the webcast, you'll see a chat box there. So go ahead and type in your question or comment, and we'll see it and read it out loud over the air.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Looks like we do have somebody who's come in. We've got Allie on the line. Allie, you have the mic. Go ahead.
Thank you. And I want to say thank you so much for this class and this opportunity. And a week ago, in my meditation and my prayers, I was praying for to be able to discern what reality is. And yeah,
you're
and
in the right place.
I know, but the question I have is, my guides have been informing me that it's my intuition and imagination that's so potent that I need to learn practices that will also ground me in validating. And that makes me very nervous because I come from a really linear family that I always fought. So will some of these practices, like whatever my, like the issue is as far as detecting reality, will it bring me closer regardless of where I'm coming from in it? And I may not become, like I'm not saying I don't have plenty of ego. I do. I'm not sure if my question is clear. But
I think so. I feel like, and you tell me if I've answered it, then it's your question was clear. Because it's important to everyone to develop some kind of a signaling system that says this is real. A lot of times people have a physical, some kind of physical kinesthetic signal, like my ears will ring, for example. Some people will get a feeling in their heart. Others will just have an intuitive knowing in their belly. But there's oftentimes a physical symbol or signal that your body gives you in kinesthetic awareness to say, this is real. So how do you know what is real? What is your body say? What is it that happens to you when you know what something is real?
I would say stillness. I mean, it's almost like there's a dropping in and a peace.
Mm-hmm.
That occurs and there's no chatter. I think what happens after that my imagination kicks in and that might be my ego where I then overcreate with it and become like it embellishes and it becomes no longer the simplicity of what it is.
Yes, that's what you want to listen to. You want to listen to the first signal and the rest is embellishment from the mind, and it will get you confused, and you know you're in your mind if you are confused. If you are confused, that is a feature of mind. The heart and your heart knowing knows what is true in any given moment and what is real, and you'll feel a feeling of peace. You will not be confused. You will just have a sense of knowing that's peaceful. So I would stick with that and work with that this week and just really see how you can navigate from peace and let the rest and see how it works for you, because my sense is that you'll find that that is flawless guidance when you do that and don't let the mind go.
A veil just lifted and thank you. I got this like glimmer of that peace and clarity. Thank you. Yes.
You're so welcome, Allie, and I send my deepest love to you, sweetheart.
Okay, so if anybody else would like to raise your hand, go ahead and press 1 on your phone keypad. And we have somebody. Ava, you're live. Go ahead.
Hi, yes, this is Eva. Hi. So my question, my journey is that when I ask questions, sometimes, like even when I asked about taking this course, the answer I get is that I already know the answers, that it is within me and I know it, and that I didn't need to take this course. But then listening to the interviews, there were so many things that were like breadcrumbs that came up for me that that showed me that they were just helping me sharpen my knowing and help me gain more clarity, more focus. And that's why I'm here, because I have for a long time led a life of confusion and easily distracted, and it's my personal goal to have more clarity, more focus, and more potency right now.
Well, I couldn't agree with your guidance more, Eva. That is so, that you do know everything from within. That's a given. We all have the same access to the divine source. And yes, when you hear breadcrumbs being spoken that say, this will sharpen my skills, this will assist me in further clearing so that I can hear better or whatever, you always have an inner knowing as to whether something is really useful for you or not. There is a complete knowing of that, and it gets clouded by the mind. But your belly undoubtedly was the part that said yes, or your heart that just said yes. And it's usually a very quick thing. It's nothing you have to deliberate about. It's something that your heart just knows. And that's what I have learned to trust flawlessly, and it sounds like you are as well. So thank you for sharing that, Eva. That's
thank
important
you
for
so
me.
Much.
Blessed be.
Hey, I'm bringing the mic now to Trudy. Trudy, you're live on the call.
Thank you. I can hardly speak because of the stillness I'm still in. But the question that came up for me was, when you speak of the circle, are we, is it the circle that we're creating here, that the number of us here on this call? Or
yes.
I just got a sense that it's more of a like all of us, all of the seekers and all of the hearts that were open and searching for what we're doing.
Oh, sweetheart, it's both. You know, see, I look at the circle. I look at the circle. It makes me cry talking about it. I look at the circle as all beings, and we're here in this circle with all beings, and we have this specific sweet circle of beings that we're with here in this crucible, in this alchemical container, that is so precious to have live interactions with each other and email communications and all that. But yes, it's both. It's this circle of in this round and the circle of oneness, which is all of us. Thank you for asking.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart.
We're bringing the mic now to Shanna. Go ahead, Shanna.
This is Shanna. I had a question about where the line between being in resonant flow is and the utilization of the mind comes in. Because there are things that I can, my heart is pounding so strongly right now.
Pay attention to that.
I can get connected to information and knowledge and a certain presence of being in that space of knowingness. But the ability to translate that in a way that feels effective or manifestorially, I'm not using the right word.
No, I understand.
That connection point, the translation, is where I find the challenge.
Mm-hmm. You're going to find in the divine feminine, it's never either or. It's always both and. You know, that is to say that it's the mind is, the small mind is the translator system that happens after you have direct knowing. Then maybe what you do with that to manifest it in the world or to make a painting from it or whatever, then you can utilize the servant of the mind. But it's just getting clear about who's driving the vehicle. That's, to me, what you're basically doing. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for your question. That's a very important one. It's not like we're trying to throw the mind out, the baby out with the bathwater whatsoever. We're just getting it in right relationship, your witness consciousness into soul voice. And then what the mind does with that to interpret or create or whatever, is then it's a tool. It becomes a tool of the translating system. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's in right relationship that way. Thank you for asking. That's an important question. And blessings.
Okay, we're bringing the mic now to Colette. Go ahead, Colette.
Hello. I'm just want to say I'm so happy to be here with everybody, and I think it's a wonderful celebration.
Thank
Ariel,
you.
That you've come up and to be with us.
Oh, thank you.
My heart's pounding too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm just a temple turret priestess, so this is a large leap for me. But yes, I'm so grateful for beings like you that I'm here.
My question, I too believe I have men that I keep dear to my heart, and I call it my heart story. Where there is love, there is no time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've met some wonderful soul spirits and connected across the oceans from where I live. And my question, and I kind of know it, but just want to, I guess, validate it, that when you connect with soul spirits, and there's so much love and knowing and sameness. Is that the divine's message to you that there is a past, a infinite relation?
Ooh,
with
you're getting
that
into
person or persons.
You're getting into some really murky water here because it's such a large question that I can't really honestly answer it because, you know, every case would be unique. There isn't a generalization. What I generally go by is if you have a strong feeling current instantly with someone, usually there is some kind of a past connection that you're bringing forward and exploring. If it's instant, I mean, it's nothing you have to think about. It's like instantaneous. That oftentimes is the marker for me. But as I said, in the feminine, everyone has a different processing system to see what's real and what's true. That's mine. That's what I would say regarding that. But that would not hold across the board because it's different for everyone.
Yeah,
that feels
it is, definitely that instant one connection, not in a generality, but the instant one that comes, and there's the tingling sensations of a knowing and just commonality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then don't get caught up in it, sweetheart. That's what I want to say to you, because
okay.
If you start focusing on the past, it's a detour. All I can tell you is it's a detour. If you want to be enlightened, be in this present moment. And the truth is that everything that we've been in the past is brought forward into this moment. And it's available to us in this moment because all time is simultaneously available in every moment. This is really hard to grok, but we live in simultaneity. So to focus in the past literally detours your energy. So I mean, I'm old, and I've lived through a lot, and I have to tell you that in my honest assessment, it's not a productive use of time to go into past lives and spend a lot of energy there. For some, it's very helpful in seeing what the patterns are that they've carried forward, but I wouldn't get caught there. I'd like to tell you to be very cautious in getting really caught up there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you for your question.
Thank you.
Blessed be.
Hey, Amy, you're live on the line.
Hello. I have a curiosity about all of this. Part of the reason I'm here and doing this is to bring more of me fully into my own life, as well as connecting to the outer. And I feel I have always had this dance and this, I'm just going to leave it at the word dance, with my sensitivity and awareness of what others are feeling, and I feel like it was enculturated in me to be more aware of that first. And I think that that is only is not only a personal issue that I have, but I also look at it as a feminine issue within the culture. And I'm wondering how to turn my eyes to me and bring it home and make it more including of me, my individual self, as well as to bring it out there. But I lose myself first, and I'll quiet now.
Again, it's a very difficult question to answer in a succinct way. First of all, you're probably an empath anyway, regardless of enculturation. I just feel like your energy is very empathic in its natural state. And that requires training yourself to focus on your inner core, on your soul voice, on your creativity, instead of focusing outward. And how you do that, you know, that's a lifetime process. I'm also an empath, and it's taken me a very long time to figure out how to sort myself out from other people and have any kind of boundaries, because I'm them, you know. So I understand what you're saying, and it's a gift and a bane, you know. It's both. It's not something that I can easily answer, and I have developed techniques over my life to be able to sort that out to a degree, but that's, again, a unique path for you to determine how you sort out what's me and what's not me.
Yes.
And focus on yourself and what's me more. And that is unique to you. Everyone will have different ways of doing that. So, sorry, I can't give you a, you know, here's a checklist. What I can do is really support you in doing that. It's essential that you find out what the essential self is without its, you know, always having tentacles going out to others. Who is this being that I am? And really focusing on that question and turning the floodlights inward instead of outward. In every option that you want to spend your energy going out, as far as your spiritual work, turn the floodlights inside and say, who is this being in me? And really focus on the self.
You've given me plenty.
Thank you. All right. Blessed be. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, Lisa, you have the mic.
Hi. I heard you mention belly heart, and I was just interested in hearing a little bit more. I think sometimes I feel things deeply in my heart, but then also through Tai Chi and other movement forms, I feel things in my belly as well.
Uh-huh.
And if you could just maybe share more about the connection between the two, and when you say the word belly heart, what are you referring to more?
Thank you. Good question. Thank you, Lisa. The belly literally has its own intelligence. It is a kind of intelligence. You know, when you get an off feeling in your stomach when you're first meeting somebody, does that happen to you where you just get this, like, feeling in your stomach?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That is, like, instantaneous, and the stomach, that brain that is the stomach, the belly, is informing you about something that is way beyond mind and its assessment. And the heart is an even more refined tool of perception. It literally has its own intelligence. It when you get into someone else's bioelectric field, that means standing within 2 feet of someone, you're literally exchanging millions of pieces of data, and you draw instantaneous, you have an intuition, but in truth, your body, especially your heart and sometimes your belly, has given you very expanded information to make choices with or find meaning in a situation. Your fields have synchronized and you've just been downloaded with a tremendous amount of information, and we normally have been so habituated to the analytical left brain mode of cognition with schooling and everything else that we don't even listen to that heart information. We don't even listen to the intelligence of the heart. And the truth is that the heart is where information arises. The belly is the first place that information is received, and then in the heart. Then it goes to the hippocampus in the back of the brain to decode it for information. Then it goes to the neocortex to be further analyzed. But we have it completely backwards. You know, we start in the neocortex, and maybe we'll go to the heart and see what it feels like. Maybe we'll go to the, you know, belly, but we have it completely backwards. And in feminine wisdom, we're starting to honor that the belly does have its own intelligence. The heart does have its own intelligence. And we better start listening that way if we want to fully garner the gifts of being, of our female aspects being strengthened. So that, does that give you an answer? That's a very short answer, but an idea of the difference of what I mean when I'm saying that?
Yes, and that's wonderful food for further exploration.
Yes, indeed, it is. And to really practice that, you know, listening with the belly and the heart before you listen with the mind, really letting your heart inform you first before you analyze something. Usually your belly will tell you if something is off instantly, and your heart will give you the feeling around it. And then, you know, then you can look at analyzing it. But it's really, really been enculturated backwards in our culture, and that has really put females at a tremendous disadvantage, because that is not the way they operate. They operate from the womb of silence first, from the heart, from meaning in the hippocampus, and then possibly analyzing. It's like backwards. And so it's put us really at a disadvantage, and now we're reclaiming that and working our intelligence of all these different systems in the way that they normally and naturally, innately operate. So, yes, do that this week. Really focus on, where's this information coming from? What's my belly telling me? What's my heart telling me? Great. Thank you for asking the question, a very important question for our work this week.
Okay, and we have a comment that came in over the webcast. This is from Sandra. Thank you, Ariel. Just sharing a beautiful sign that appeared. When you said resonance is information, a raven swooped into view.
Oh, my God.
The second time you said resonance, even flew in again and landed on a nearby tree. Powerful stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. That is goddess in form there, folks. See, that's what I'm talking about, you know, the resonance of truth that arises as you begin to notice that level of reality in resonance is phenomenal. I mean, you'll start just being jaw-dropped at how clearly the divine feminine speaks to you, especially with nature as an oracle. It's uncanny. So thank you for that. I really appreciate that comment. Thank you so deeply.
And we have several more live calls. We'll see how many of them we can get.
Yeah.
I'm bringing the mic now to Cassandra. Cassandra, you're live on the call.
And we better just have this
one
last call. Yeah. Yes, Cassandra, I am here.
Yes, blessed be. And I just wanted to tell you how grateful I am for this class. I have been waiting many years to find someone that could reveal the feminine, because since I was a very young girl, I've known that I was here to help bring that consciousness in. But I have trouble feeling things. It's always a vision or a picture. And since we're having this class, what happened was, I don't know if it was a dream because it didn't seem like a dream, but I don't know how to describe it. I was taken out into deep, deep, dark space by two Buddhist monks. Nothing was said. Everything was absolute silence. And then suddenly this great flame, this great light, fire came down from a higher part of space. And I said, oh my, I can't look at you. And so it took a piece of space and wrapped it around itself, and it was a feminine presence. And, you know, I could see her, I could see part of her eyes, but, you know, there was, oh my goodness, all this energy. And she, no words were ever spoken through this whole encounter, but she seemed to want me to marry this little boy. He was a little boy, he was still a little boy. So I'm not sure what that means, but he had some flowers and they all wilted, I guess, because I never paid attention to him. I don't really know. So I was just wondering how do I feel from the belly like you're talking about instead of just having these visions?
Well, what we're going to be doing, I hope to get to it next week, is looking at the channels of perception, that the feminine evolves consciousness through the senses rather than in negation of them. And so we'll be working with discrete channels of perception more to evolve, you know, more than, you're obviously very visual. And there are 8 channels of perception, so that's just one of them. So we will be going into that in more detail, so I'm not going to take this last little bit of time today to do it specifically, but I will be addressing that. Just know that. And thank
you. Do you think this was real, or was it just my imagination? Or?
Well, see, here, that's exactly why I brought this up in the very first in our very first session. How do you tell what is real and what is imagination? That is what you have to get going in your beingness to discern what is real and what is not. And I couldn't tell you if that's real or not. Only you can tell if that's real or not, because what is real is different for every human being, because we all live in a different hologram. It's impossible.
True.
Yeah, it's impossible for me to assess that. So I encourage you this week to really keep asking yourself, how do I tell what is real? And really come up.
Okay, I will do that.
Yeah, I'm going to start out the session next time with that inquiry to see what people have come up with in this week around that. So it's an essential distinction. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you, and blessed be.
Okay, what I'd really like to do now is to just very briefly look at the practices, which Lindsay, I believe these are sent out tomorrow morning. Is that correct?
Yes, they'll go out in an email tomorrow.
Okay, so you'll be able to work with the mirror work and the other things. I'll delineate what the practices are per se that we have looked at today and been able to get to. I'm hoping to have more time for each of you to, for example, today I wanted to get time to have you witness each other, to ask questions and witness each other. So what I'd like to do is how could we do this, Lindsay? I'm just not used to working this way. If I were to give them the...
I'm here with you. So maybe I can help. What is it that you would like everybody to do? And maybe I can figure out a way that we can do it.
Well, during their last half an hour, where they have a half an hour to work with each other, I would like them to practice witnessing, not changing, fixing, but truly being in a more slowed down meditative state and witnessing each other. And I would like to give them 2 or 3 questions to deepen around.
Okay. So that sounds good. I think what we can do, Lindsay, is we can break people into groups of four, and we can have them take turns in being witnessed by one another so that we have a group large enough that if other people drop off the line, there's still people to talk to. And so, Ariel, what are the questions that you would like them to work with?
Okay. So first of all, I just want to strongly state that please don't answer from your mind. This is not a class, and I'm going to get you to stop saying class. This is an experience. This is a circle, but not a class, and it's not from our minds, and that's not a judgment. It's just we need to retrain our language. So please don't answer from your ego mind, but allow yourself to be really silent and allow yourself to feel the energy in your belly and heart moving up from those places before you speak. And if nothing comes, then just practice remaining silent and be okay with that. That is really tough going when you're sitting with somebody and they're just being silent. It's like very hard for the ego mind. But that's our first quest here. So please do it that way. Otherwise, if it's just question, answer, that's just reinforcing an old pattern. So let's not do that. That would be what we would do in a didactic class, and that's not what we're doing. So we're clear about that, right? Yes. So here are the questions. Let's ask deeply with each other. Let's see. Just first ask, how do you tell the difference? How do you, in other words, you ask each other, how do you tell the difference between what is real and what is illusory or impermanent? So see, I should have given them these questions first so they have them.
Well, it's okay. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to self-select and elect one of your people in your group right now to write these questions down, or all of you go ahead and just write them down as Ariel is saying this, so that when you get into your group live, somebody has already scribed them. So Ariel, maybe just repeat that question one more time.
How do you tell the difference between what is real and what is illusory or impermanent? Not real, in other words.
Great, great. And then the next question.
Is there something you're desiring to be archetypally witnessed and held in creating or dissolving that arose from our work today? And I'll start again. Is there something that you're wanting to be archetypally witnessed and held in either creating or dissolving that arose from our work today? That is the most important one. I really want us to drop in there and say, what got activated today that you want to be witnessed in? Maybe it's a new choice. Maybe it's a way of holding yourself differently. Maybe it's something that you're feeling strongly, but something you want to be witnessed in. And not fixed, not changed, but just witnessed in. Is everyone clear about the questions?
Mm-hmm. That's great. I think that's really clear, Ariel. So, and as you're listening to these questions, again, I'm just going to remind you all to listen from your belly, because your mind will want to try to figure this out, and that is not what we are asking you to do. So listen from your belly. So was there another question, Ariel?
Yes. It's essential in this work to work from an open heart, to have an open heart. So the question I would ask you is, how do I know whether my heart is open or not? Just really stop with that one. Just really check in and ask yourself, how do I know when my heart's open and when it's not? And then what opens your heart? You can ask each other, what opens your heart? What is it that you know when you see a puppy that's running toward you and your heart just flies open? I mean, that's something that you know opens your heart, or you listen to Beethoven, or whatever it is that just totally makes your heart fly open. Speak that to each other. And what apparently closes your heart? So these are questions about the heart that are important. How do I know whether my heart is open or not? What opens my heart? What apparently closes your heart? And finally, what shield is in front of my heart to protect me from possible rejection or hurt? What shield do I still wear in front of my heart to protect me from the possibility of rejection or hurt? And then finally, do you want to be witnessed in choosing to transmute that shield? Do you want to be witnessed in choosing to transmute that shield? And if the person says yes, then you stand as a witness. And there's a mudra for this in priestess temples, and that's your right hand with an open palm. You just sit where you're sitting and raise your right hand open, open-palmed, and that is, in the priestess lineage, that is, I witness. And all you have to do is say, I witness you, and raise your hand, and really take what they're saying in without the need of the ego personality to say, well, I witness you, and furthermore, what I'd like to share with you about that is blah, 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 blah. That's ego mind. All you need is to say, I deeply witness you. I hear you. And that's it. And then it's up to the person to, what they do with that. It's not about you fixing or changing them. And this is a seminal, seminal principle in this work. So please take that in with these questions. What shields are still in front of my heart that apparently protect me from the possibility of hurt and rejection? And do you wish to be to choose to transmute that shield? That's what you're working with the heart. And I gave you the other ones. I think everyone's gotten a chance to hear those, or someone in the foursome will have. And so
yes,
I don't want to take up all your time with that. So
let's ask everybody, if you are clear that you're done with this call and this session for this evening and you can't stay on now, what I would encourage you to do now is drop off the line before we begin this inquiry, because we want to settle the group. So if that is you, then we bid you farewell for this evening and thank you for being part of this wonderful session with Arielle. If you want to stay on and be part of this deepening inquiry, then stay on now and we'll just have Lindsay reconfigure the group to make sure that we've got at least four people per group. And Ariel, I believe these questions will be posted tomorrow in the online temple. And
it will be.
Visit these, right?
Before everyone goes, though, I want to let you know that on the online forum, there are two very well-trained priestesses, Vivienne and Oiana, that are going to be administrating your comments and your questions and your concerns and your insights. They're going to be filtering those to me. They're both very well-trained priestesses, so don't think you just need a response from me insofar as my commitments are such that it's impossible for me to respond personally to all of you. I will take what they come up with and as overview patterns that are emerging, and I will respond to those, but please know that they're very capable of interfacing with you the same way that I am. So thank you for that.
Very good.
So much love to all of you, beloved. So excited to journey with you. Blessed be.
Thank you, Arielle. Thank you, love.
Thank you, Leila, for hand-holding with me.
So welcome. So for those of you who are left on the line now, and I also want to say if you're on the webcast, you can go ahead and call in. You can call in on 530-216-4294, and and you can use the pin code 410-428. If you want to call in and be part of a conversation now on the live part of this deepening experience, and please do that. For everyone else, you're already live in your groups. I would encourage you to go ahead and introduce yourself, say who you are, maybe where you're calling from, so we can establish the groups, and then begin with the first question that Arielle posed to you and just work your way through those questions and enjoy your conversations. I will stay on the line a little bit to problem solve here if there are any problems. So I'm going to pop around to all your groups and just see that everything's going well. And otherwise, I just wish you a fabulous evening of conversations. Enjoy that now.